morning, everybody. He is worthy of worship no matter what. He does all things well.
We'll read down through verse 13. If you would please, you'd stand with me in honor of reading God's Word in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Find your place, say amen. That's not very good. Find your place, say amen. Okay, y'all help me. Now, y'all can help me preach this morning by saying amen. All right? I don't want to, it's better if I don't have to prompt you to say amen. Okay? And so if you'll help me and if you'll say amen every once in a while, we'll move right along. We'll just have a good time in the Lord today. So if you find your place, say amen.
Amen.
Thou therefore, my son, be strong. Paul talking to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Dear Father, I pray, God, that you'd help us this morning to, Lord, receive what you have for us today. I pray, God, that you'd help me, Lord, to preach and preach through me, that, God, I'll stay out of your way, that I'll just be a pipe, Lord, empty. God, that you'll fill me, Lord, with the presence of the Spirit of God, that every word I say might be your words, every thought I think, Lord, will be your thoughts. And, God, if there's someone here that's lost, I pray, God, more than anything, that they'll, Lord, trust Jesus Christ today as their personal Savior. You said today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And I pray, God, that you'd speak to hearts. Lord, if there's someone that's saved who's not living for you like they ought to, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd, through the Holy Spirit of God, that you'd impress upon their hearts and help them understand they're among a people that loves them and cares for them. But most of all, God, you love them and you care for them. And so help them to come, Lord, and not leave this place the same way that they came in. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd just add your blessings to this message, Lord, today, and add your blessing to the reading of your word, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Jeremiah, when you go back, he was by far the most godly man of his day. But he would have been a poor advertisement for the contemporary prosperity gospel that we hear about these days. During most of his earthly life, his godliness brought more ridicule, brought more persecution, ending, and as tradition tells us, ending at death by stoning. He was born into a priestly family, but was called to be a prophet. In fact, the most persecuted prophet in the Old Testament. Jeremiah refused to compromise God's truth, and for that, for his faithfulness, he suffered as a result of that. And after years of suffering and persecution, if you look in Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 1, he cried out to God, saying, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgment." And he says, "Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper?" You ever wonder about that? You ever wonder why it seemed like that the wicked just get away with everything and they live like they live, and it seemed like the more they just prosper? You ever think about that? Amen, I do. Jeremiah did too. He said, "Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper?" He said, "Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously?" And folks, Jeremiah's patience with the ungodly around him had run out. In fact, if you look in Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 4, his patience had ran out to the point to where that he had prayed and begged God, and it says, "Drag them like sheep for the slaughter." I mean, he is really wanting them to get theirs. And I'm telling you, sometimes we want them to get theirs too, and we can all say amen. I mean, we look around in the day in which we live, and we think, man, Lord, look at how the wicked just seem like they're getting away with everything. But I want you to understand, Brother Marco said something the other day that I really like. He said, "Listen, this is the best it's ever going to be for the lost people right here in this place. This is not the best it's going to be for people who are born again children of God. We've got something better to look forward to," amen, and I'm thankful for that. But Jeremiah, he begged God to drag them off like sheep for the slaughter, but God's response was not what he had expected. And by the way, oftentimes when we're asking God for things, listen, his response to you and I is not what we expect either. Can I get an amen? And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God's response to our lives and to our prayers are not always what we want it to be. I'm thankful that he answers his prayer according to his perfect will. And so he answers Jeremiah's prayer in Jeremiah 12 in verse 5, and he says, "If thou hast run with the footmen," this is what he's telling Jeremiah, "and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses?" And God is telling Jeremiah here that suffering for the Lord, he said, "Jeremiah, listen, your suffering is just getting started." And I want to bring this to a little bit of an application this morning. I thought of an old sermon that I preached years ago on this very verse. And folks, listen, and I want you to think about this. If what's going on in our society today has got you sidelined, in other words, if the footmen have brought you to where you are today in the place that you are in right now, listen, if the footmen have brought you there, then listen, I'm telling you, if you're looking for sympathy today, then you're looking for the wrong thing. Listen, that's just, we're experiencing, I believe, right now today, the footmen of this whole world. And God says, if the footmen weary thee, what are you going to do? Listen, what are you going to do when the horses come? What are you going to do when the going really gets tough? If something is you know, and we all hate, you know, COVID. I mean, I'm sick of COVID. I'm sick of masks. You know, but I understand we still got to do what we're supposed to do and practice all that social distancing. We're not made for social distancing, by the way. Amen. We're a social people. God made us that way. Amen. I mean, a lot of our folks are huggers, and man, they haven't hugged anybody in months. Amen. But I'm not saying start now. Don't start yet. Amen. COVID is just a simple thing, but it's got a lot of Christians today sidelined. I think COVID is just a footman. And it's got a lot of people today that are weary, and just like Jeremiah in his day, he was weary of the footman. And God says, listen, Jeremiah, how are you going to contend when, what are you going to do when the horses come? What are you going to do when it really gets tough? And God is calling on you and me today to have strength and to have courage. And by the way, he's not talking about my strength or our brother Shelton's courage. Listen, God is talking about his strength and his courage. And Paul, in essence, here is challenging Timothy in this passage this morning to do the same thing. And Timothy, at this time, he is facing increased opposition from within the church and from without the church. It's a sad thing. Listen, one thing to face opposition from outside the church, but it's something totally different when we face opposition from inside the church, from our own brothers and sisters in Christ. And listen, and so Timothy here, he's facing these things, and Paul is telling Timothy not to retreat or not to wallow in self-pity, but instead he says, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and watch, and to suffer hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're a born-again child of God, you are a soldier in the army of Jesus Christ. Amen. But there's a lot of Christians today that aren't very good soldiers. Amen. We've got a lot of Christians today that are AWOL, absent without leave. Amen. But listen, we're to suffer hardship as good soldiers. Listen, nowhere did I find in reading my Bible, and I've read it through a couple of times, but I'm doing it again, nowhere have I found where the Lord says, listen, if you get saved, it is a grease plank to heaven. It's a grease plank, all right, but it's a grease plank to trouble and hardship and suffering, because God says if you live godly, you shall suffer persecution. So here's Timothy. And Paul says, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And I want you to get this. Listen, faithful service to God has always been costly. Y'all act like you didn't believe that. Faithful service to God has always been costly. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Just turn to the left a little bit. I mean, move your pages to the left. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, look in verse, let's start in verse 32. It says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And we think, man, praise the Lord. Amen. Faith is a victory, victory in Jesus. But wait a minute, it doesn't stop there. Okay? Keep looking. It says women receive their dead raised to life again. I mean, we are all aboard, amen? We're all for it. But wait a minute, it says, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial and cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn asunder, tempted, slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Listen, we don't want to read about that. We want to go back to where if we get saved, and you know, if you put a little money in the offering plate, that listen, everything's going to be great and everything's going to be easy. We want to punch the easy button and everything be fine, and this life is going to be great. But I'm here to let you know, according to Scripture, it's not going to always be that way. And Paul is telling Timothy, listen, Timothy, you be strong. Listen, throughout history of the church, the cost of discipleship has been high, and it's going to continue to be that way. Listen, it may come to the day to where doing this right here may be against the law. And if it's against the law, what are we going to do? Listen, are we just going to, are we just going to cower down and just let the things of this old world sideline us? Listen, absolutely not. Listen, God, listen, faithful service to God has always been costly. Millions upon millions have severely suffered for the cause of Christ. They've laid down their lives. Listen, and many of them, literally in the thousands, have been put to death under the name of religion. Spouses have been abandoned by unbelieving mates. Family members have been ostracized because they were offended by the gospel. Even in the church, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 12, it tells us, as many as desire, watch, to make a fair show in the flesh. In other words, they just want to look good, you know, on Sunday morning. But they resent true godliness. And we live in a day where, I'm telling you, people resent godliness. If you don't believe me, go try to share the gospel with them. Go try to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Many today substitute God's standards for standards of their own making. I mean, because after all, God's standards are too hard. They're too high. God, why did you make it so hard? Are y'all still with me? Say amen. But until Christ comes, think about this. The preaching of the gospel is going to continue to stir up animosity. People are still going to hate you for telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, Brother Shelton and a couple of men, they were out knocking doors a couple of weeks ago, and a lady came out of her house and said, "We don't even want you on our block." Didn't they say that? They were out knocking doors trying to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the lady said, "Listen, we don't want you here, not even in the neighborhood." Well, how did she know that? There could have been somebody three houses down, and the Lord had them all ready and prepared for them to come by and knock on their door. So did they stop? No, they just kept right on going. But listen, but there was still somebody that was following around behind them, listen, that was just nagging at them. Listen, we don't want you here. It's always going to be that way. It's always going to be where people, unbelievers, listen, are going to be in opposition of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's offensive to them. Truth, as I told Sunday school this morning, has become a dividing point. Stirs up animosity. In opposition of the spiritual things of God. Jesus told his disciples in John 16:33, he said, "In the world you'll have tribulation." Amen. But I'm glad he didn't stop there. He said, "Be of good cheer." He said, "I've overcome the world." Amen. Listen, if he's overcome the world, so will we. You say, how are we going to do that? Well, the Lord's going to come get us out of here. Listen, here in this text this morning that we just read, Paul assures Timothy, a young pastor, that there's more than enough reason to put everything of his life on the line for Christ. And there's still plenty enough reason for you and me today to live godly in this present evil world. Look in Romans chapter 8. Turn back the other way. Romans, look in chapter 8. And notice what it says in verse 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long and are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God's people can say, amen. Listen, I guess there is not anything under the sun as a saved, born-again child of God that's going to separate us from the love of God. Amen. And Paul here is trying to encourage Timothy. And about 10 years earlier, watch, he wrote this to the church at Rome. And now Paul is writing to Timothy, and he offers him four motives for faithfulness, powerful motives. And the first thing, if you know, go back to our text in 2 Timothy, and you look there in verse 8, we find the preeminence of the Lord. Now, that word preeminence means superiority, or it means over and above. Listen, can I ask you something this morning? Are you allowing God preeminence in your life? Are you allowing God to be the superior part of your life? That means over and above everything else. That you say, how do we get that? That he is more important to you than anything else in your life. And everything that you do, God gets first place. He gets first choice. We got to be careful, because there's a lot of things in the world that demands our time, that demands our talents, it demands anything about us. And if we're not careful, we'll give those things first place in our life. But here, Paul writes to Timothy, and he encouraged him to give God the preeminence. He says in verse 1, Paul says to be strong. In verse 2, he tells Timothy to commit or to entrust. In verse 7, he tells Timothy, consider. Verse 15, he says, be diligent. Verse 16, he says, shun or avoid. Verse 19, he says, depart. Verse 22, he tells him to flee. Verse 23, again, he tells him to avoid. Listen, Paul is telling Timothy, if you want to have a faithful and a productive spiritual life, these are not options. They are imperatives. And folks, I'm here to let you know they are still the same way today. If you want to have a strong and a successful spiritual life, these things have to be imperatives in our life. John says in 1 John 2:6, he that saith, he that abideth in him also to walk even as he walked. In other words, if you're going to talk the talk, walk the walk. If you're going to walk the walk, then it's okay. But listen, we've got to make sure that if we're going to talk it, that we got to walk it. We can't say one thing and then live something else. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then Paul says, Timothy, remember. Look, this is important. I want you to go back. Look in 2 Timothy. And look in chapter 2 and look in verse 8, the very first word. He says, Timothy, remember. And that word remember literally means continue to remember. Keep on remembering. Listen, you know, sometimes we forget what we were like before we got saved. Listen, it'd do us good to remember who we were at one time. Now listen, I don't look back and dwell on those things, and I don't talk about them like I'm, you know, like I'm proud of it, and I revel in the fact of what I used to do. I'm ashamed, embarrassed at the things that I did and how I lived before I gave my life to Christ. I don't want people to know. I try to do my best to keep that a secret. There's some things that God, that only He knows about me, and I want to keep that way. But guess what? It's under the blood. Amen. It's forgiven. But listen, I want you to understand something today, that when we think about that, we ought to remember where we were and where the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us out of. Amen. The song says, He set my feet on a solid rock. Listen, he put a song in my soul today. Listen, and he lifted me up above the miry pits of this old world and set me on a solid rock, who is Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And he has given me a purpose. A lot of people today don't have much purpose. You know, we get up, go to work every day, we come home, we eat, and we go to bed. That's not our purpose, just to exist. Our purpose is to reach people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we ought to remember. And Paul says, Timothy, remember. Listen, the preeminence of our Lord Jesus Christ ought to always be in the forefront of our minds. Watch, he is the supreme teacher. He is the greatest soldier. He is the greatest athlete. He fought the greatest battle. He's won the greatest victory. He's run the greatest race, and he has won the greatest prize. He has sowed the perfect seed and reaped the perfect harvest. And folks, we need to keep in mind that Jesus' path to glory was marked by pain before pleasure, earthly hatred before heavenly worship, and it's not going to be any different for you and me. We wonder, and I thought back the other day, I was listening to a song that I got it for the choir. We're going to learn it. But I remember telling my wife, and I've even told you, that you'd think after 30-plus years in ministry that it would get a little bit easier. You think, man, after I've got to this age, you know, that things would get a little simpler. Have y'all found any of that? If you have, let me know. I'll co-author a book with you, and we'll make a lot of money. But I'm telling you, it's not happening. I mean, it's just not going to be there. As long as we try to do the right thing and live for God, it's going to be difficult. But you know what? It's well worth the problems. It's well worth the suffering. Listen, to remember those truths about the Lord Jesus and his earthly life. Listen, if we remember those, it'll protect us from the foolish and ungodly promises of the so-called health and wealth gospel that's going around today. All that false teaching corrupts the Lord's commands for us to take up our crosses just like he took his up and follow him. And while I'm here, I just want to add this, that if the Lord's perfect, sinless obedience to the Father, think about this, if all that brought him earthly, listen, if it didn't bring him earthly prosperity, if it didn't bring him well-being and being well thought of, then what gives us the right to expect anything different? We ought to remember Jesus Christ. And Paul says, Timothy, remember Jesus. Man, I remember. I've never met him in person, but I'm going to. I've heard my dad preach so many years. My granddad died when I was 5. And he's been dead a long time, 55 years. Died as a young man, 52 years old, had a heart attack and died on the way home from work. But I've heard my dad preach in the last year, and he'd say these words, you know, if I could hear his voice today, I'd recognize it. And I'd just like to hear him say, son. Well, I want you to know something. The Bible says, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And one of these days, we're going to hear his voice. Listen, and even though I've never heard it, listen, one of these days I'm going to hear it. I'm going to recognize his voice. Why? Because he's my heavenly Father. He saved me, listen, and wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And one of these days we're going to hear the words, come up hither. And listen, we're not going to say, well, Lord, I'm just a minute. I got something. No, wait a minute. We're headed out. Ready or not, here he comes. Listen, are you ready? We need to remember the Lord Jesus. We need to remember him because he's risen from the dead. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17 and verse 19. This truth is of first importance is what I've called it, because it says if Christ be not raised, he says your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now, listen, this is important. Paul's not talking about remembering the resurrection. Okay? Now, as important as that is, he's talking about remembering the Lord himself. Watch. Who is alive because of the resurrection. You know, we got to be careful about things like this. Folks, when we observe Easter, we're not just observing the resurrection. Just that event. You follow me? Are you listening? Now, you got to be careful listening to me. Because if you don't listen, then you're going to think I said something I didn't say. Are y'all still here? Now, I've had a couple of people ask me about, and which reminds me about something Sunday. Brother Al was preaching, and he said something about the ribbon on the goat and how it changed white. He said it's in the Talmud. He didn't say it's in Scripture. He said it's in the Talmud. The Talmud is not Scripture. Are y'all still here? So listen, and so you got to be careful. I was talking to Brother Shelton about that the other day. And he said, no, he said, but I didn't say that. So you got to be careful. Sometimes you think, man, the preacher said, no, wait a minute, that's not what I said. Are y'all still here? Say amen. Listen, we got to be careful, and we understand that, listen, Paul is trying to encourage Timothy, listen, not to remember the event of the resurrection, but to remember the Lord himself who is alive because of the resurrection. We don't serve a past event or simply a historical person. Jesus did live life on this earth, amen. He lived a sinless life, and he died a human death. But we worship and serve him because he's not dead anymore. He is alive, amen. But all the other religions today, there's a lot of them, listen, they serve somebody who is dead. Confucius, he is dead. Muhammad, he is dead. But I serve a risen Savior. Amen. He lives in me in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And we are here today to worship a Savior who is alive. Amen. So we got to be careful not to just enjoy an event just because it's an event. We need to remember the person behind the event, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we remember him, listen, as our resurrected Lord. And understand that through his death and resurrection, listen, he broke the shackles of sin and death. Listen, I'm no longer bound to sin anymore. Listen, he has set me free. Amen. Listen, it's not like the pilot one day, and the guy went, he was on the airplane, and he went in and he shot the pilot and the co-pilot, and he ran back out into the deal, and he said, we're free. Now, that was pretty dumb. Listen, we need to understand today that we're not bound by the shackles of sin. We've been set free. And we've been set free by a Savior who is just as alive as you and I are today. We need to remember him. Listen, he set us free. And Paul's trying to encourage Timothy to remember the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrection, but also in his humanity. Christ identified with mankind as a descendant of David. The Bible says, according to the flesh. You see, his coming as a descendant of David not only speaks of his humanity as our sympathetic and merciful high priest, one who knows all our suffering, has felt our pain, but also about his royalty. I'm glad that if we're going through something, that the Lord can sympathize with us. He's not somebody that has no idea what we're talking about. I'm thankful today that he suffered and that he knows exactly what you're going through. I'm thankful that when we pray to our Heavenly Father, listen, that he knows about our suffering. Listen, he came into his own, and his own received him not. They beat him, and he suffered rejection of his own people. And folks, I'm telling you today, when we live in a world today that people just don't understand you when you're trying to do the right thing and tell them the truth. But we don't have to worry about that because the Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered the same things that you and I suffer. And we can go to our Heavenly Father, our High Priest. And by the way, we can go straight to him. We don't have to go talk to somebody and call him Father. Somebody never had any kids. We can go straight to our Heavenly Father. And we can talk to him about the things that we're going through. And he understands. Listen, he came as a descendant of David. The Bible says, according to the flesh. But it also talks about his royalty and his majesty. The angel of God in Luke chapter 1 proclaimed to Mary, watch, that he'll be great, called the Son of the Most High, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. I'm looking forward to the day that he comes and sets up his kingdom. I'm ready to be a part of that. Listen, if you're a born-again child of God, you're going to get to reign with him. I don't want to be a street sweeper in glory. Amen. Now, I don't mean that ugly, but listen, And by the way, what you do here or what you are there depends on what you do here. Okay, it doesn't matter how we live here in this place for the cause of Christ. And I want to be, I don't want to be a street sweep. Now, I'm, that's not a bad thing, but I want to be somebody. Now, I know you say, oh, well, Brother White, you ought not to. Listen, that's just, God's going to take care of all that stuff. You follow me? But listen, I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want to stand before him and have to, and be nervous about what he's going to say because he knows how I lived and he knows I didn't live for him while I was here. I don't want him to know that, listen, or to think when I stand before him and give an account that listen, I have to be nervous because I didn't do the things that he's called me to do. One of these days, we're going to stand before God and give an account of this place. Brother Shelton reminded me yesterday. He said, listen, he said, you're going to stand account one of these days and give account to Central Park Baptist Church, not me. And I said, you're exactly right. But as a teacher, listen, I need to make sure he's doing the right thing. You know why? Because one of these days I'm going to give account to God for how I tried to help Brother Shelton to tell the truth. And I'm going to stand before God and give an account of Central Park Baptist Church. That means all of you. And so I'm going to do my best, do the right thing, tell you the truth. Paul's trying to get Timothy to do the same thing. He says, Timothy, listen, do the right thing. He says, Timothy, listen, one of these days you're going to stand before God. So he says, you better remember Christ. Listen, if Christ is our Savior, and he is, are you born again? If you're saved, then we ought to live like we're saved. Listen, notice what he says. Look in John chapter 27, verse 28. I mentioned this a while ago. Remember, the angel of God proclaimed to Mary that he's going to be great, called the Son of the Most High, that he would reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will not have any end. So if Jesus Christ is our Savior, if he's our sovereign Lord, then why should we worry about what happens to us here in this life? I mean, a lot of Christians today are running scared. I mean, if he's our Savior and if he's sovereign, then why are we so worried about what happens to us here? Yeah. Listen, if Christ is our Savior, think about this, then we have no fear of losing our salvation. A lot of people today don't believe in the eternal security of the believer. They believe that if you get saved and if you do something wrong, if you're saved for 10 years and you do something wrong, then you lose your salvation. Well, that's not everlasting life. That's 10-year life. I mean, I did good for 10 years, but man, I slipped and I fell and I lost my salvation. Well, then that's not everlasting. How long is the Bible says that in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have. Now, how long is everlasting? Absolutely. Listen, when Noah got in the ark, the storms came. They were on the outside of the boat. I don't recall reading anything about God telling Noah. Now, Noah, now when you build this ark, now I want you to make these holes, and they're so big, and I want you to put some pegs on the outside so that people can hold on, so that they can just hold on to the end. Now, watch, the ark is a picture of our salvation. Listen, the Bible says that they didn't get on the outside of the ark and try to hang on till the storm was over. They got on the inside of the ark. And when they got on the inside of the ark, the Bible says that God shut the door. Listen, now when they were on the inside of the ark, they might have slipped and they might have fell down. But they didn't fall out of the ark. Why? Because God shut the door. Listen, when you and I got saved, we were sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. And that lets me know that, listen, my salvation and keeping it is not up to me. It's up to him. Paul said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Well, what did Paul commit to him? He committed to him his soul, his eternity, and he is able to keep it. Amen. So when it comes to things like this, listen, we ought not be fearful. We ought not even fear death. You know, my friend, Brother Allen, before he died, he told me, he said, you know, Delbert, I'm not really worried about it. He said, I'm ready. He'd tell me days, we'd be out on the golf course and he'd be having a hard time breathing. He'd be bent over and me in my own way. I said, hey, man, come on. You know, get up. I said, let's go. You know, you'll be okay. And I was kind of hard on him sometime. But he'd get up and he'd start walking. He'd say, man, Lord, I'm just tired. I'm just ready to go home. And I'd say, yeah, but let's leave that to God. You know, you may be ready, but maybe we're not ready. Oh, he was ready. And it wasn't just a few weeks later. He went home to be with the Lord. But you know what? He didn't fear it. He might have been a little apprehensive about it, just as we all are in this flesh. But he didn't fear death. You know, the Bible says in John 14:19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, and because I live, ye shall live also. Listen, that's a promise of God for you and I, that we're going to live. Listen, we're all eternity bound. And none of us will ever die. Nobody that's ever been born has died truly. Their soul, the Bible says that God breathed into the nostrils the breath of man, and he became a living soul. And people are going to they're going to live forever, one place or the other. Two places. They're either going to live for eternity in a place called hell that's not been prepared for them, but for Satan and his angels, or they're going to live eternity in heaven. You say, well, I'm not going to make a decision today. Oh, yeah, we're all going to make a decision today. No one gets out of here alive. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. And we're going to stand before God. But listen, we got to make sure that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Paul says, Timothy, remember Christ. Oh, we may forget a lot of things. I forget stuff. You know, I mean, when you get a little older, not as old as Brother Will, but when you get a little older, you forget stuff. You know, but there's a lot of things that we remember. Some things we don't want to remember. Some things that are etched into our minds. But the one thing that we should remember, and Paul tells Timothy, you better remember Christ. We remember the things that are most important to us. But do we remember the Lord Jesus? Do we remember that he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows? Do we remember that he was despised and rejected of his own? Do we remember that he came unto his own and his own received him not? Do we remember that he loved us and gave himself for us that we might have eternal life? Do we remember that he was raised from the dead and that he sits at the right hand of the Father? Do we remember that as a child of God that we've been bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we remember that we have no need to fear the loss of salvation because the Lord assures us of our perfect and absolute security in him? Do we remember the words of Hebrews 7:25 that says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them? Every believer can say with Paul, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Paul reminds Timothy, and he reminds you and me today. He says, remember. Listen, Psalm 30:5, it says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Listen, remember that Jesus said he was coming. He said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I believe, and I'll say it again, that we are living in the shadow of the rapture of God's people. Are you ready? Listen, if you died right now this minute, would you go to heaven? How do you know? I've asked people that, and they said, oh, but because, preacher, I'm a good person. That's the wrong answer. The Bible says there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Yeah. So if you're going to go to heaven, how do you know? You say, well, how do you know? Well, because I was there when it happened. I was there, and I said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. And you know what he did? He saved me. When I try to show people how to get saved, I'll ask them that question. And I'll tell them, listen, I said, did you ask Jesus to come into your heart? And they said, yes, sir, I did. I said, that's your part. God's part is the saving. Our part is the asking. And listen, and what God does, the Bible says he doeth well. He doesn't do it halfway. He does it well. And if there's been a time, listen, that you've been saved, then remember what you were like before you got saved. And if you're not living for God like you ought to, would you come and just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Listen, we need to get close to God today. And we need to remember from whence we have come. And remember that one day we'll stand before God and give an account. Christian, are you ready to meet him? Just like you are today, are you ready? If you're not, then you need to come. If you're here and you're not saved, let me encourage you. Would you come? I'll come and show you out of this book, God's eternal holy word, and I'll show you how you can have eternal, everlasting life according to the Lord Jesus Christ. God help us, Father.